And we get to start on our last, this is my last sermon about the Sabbath. So this is the third sermon I've been giving on the Sabbath, and hopefully you were able to be here for the first and second, and if you weren't, maybe you'll listen to them, because maybe this one won't make sense if you didn't listen to the other ones, because this will kind of go from those. But again, we're talking about remembering the Sabbath day. And so I want to kind of recap what we talked about last Sabbath. And we were in Exodus chapter 20, and we went through verses 8 through 11. And we covered really four primary principles in that chapter, in Exodus 20. And those were, again, to remember this day, remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy. Okay, we talked about what remembering means, and we went through several things about remembering. We talked about why it is holy, why God put it, set it apart for a special purpose, that this day is for us, not for God. This is for us. We also talked about that the number two was that no one in your household should work, right? Nobody under your household should work, and what that meant. We went in more detail about that. And then thirdly, we talked about this is a holy convocation. This is a commanded assembly. God commands us to be here on the Sabbath day. This is his day, not ours. And something very important, I think we forget, and we've forgotten over the years, and maybe not so much that we've forgotten, we just haven't really put a priority on it. And I think as we go through our lives, as we do these things, we have to really put priorities on God first, and we come second. Right? That's just the way it is. And then we also said, we talked about, the fourth one was to consider one another, to really exhort one another, to uplift one another. And if we're not here, we can't do that. And we talked about, you know, there are reasons that we aren't here. Sick, being sick is one of them, right? We don't want to pass that around to our brothers and sisters. There's other things why we aren't here. God understands those. And I mentioned that in the first sermon, was that if we can be here, we should be, right? We also look at how God combined honoring our father and mother with Sabbath observance. He by honoring God as our Father, and he is our Father, it should make him more real to us, right? Like your parents. He should become more real. And so that proper Sabbath observance or keeping helps us endure and helps us ensure we continue to make that personal relationship with him. And then we talked lastly about not just reverencing God's sanctuary, where we meet, where God has placed his name, but also reverencing this particular time, the Sabbath time, by respecting it, by honoring it, making it a devotion, you know, putting it at the first and foremost front of our minds of what it means to us and why we're here. And then, of course, it's designed for us, right? The Sabbath was designed for us and for us to serve God and for us to serve one another. That was a whole part of what God did this for as a family. And so today I want to begin with this question, because it comes up from time to time over the years, and it's come up in the last month or two for me, and you've probably heard it, but it has to do with, well, what about the ox in the ditch? An ox in the ditch, and that type of situation, is to justify work when you have a legitimate life or death emergency or illness. That's what an ox in a ditch is. And in those kind of cases, you are not going to be condemned from God for doing what is necessary to meet those challenges, those emergencies, whatever they are, come up. Now, we understand that an ox in a ditch is a rare occasion. I'm going to give you an example, and I hope I don't step on toes here. A nurse, and there's a lot of women and people who want to become nurses, doctors and nurses. But going into those practices, you know that you're probably going to have to work on a Sabbath once, maybe once or twice a month, once every 2 months. You're already going to it knowing that. So that's not an ox in a ditch. That's not an emergency. You've known you're going to have to work, and God says you shall not work. A fireman, policeman, same kind of thing. You know you're going to have to work on a Saturday. It's a given. And so those instances are, you're going to have to make a hard choice, aren't you? As a person in God's church, you're going to have to say, God says I'm not to work. So it doesn't matter what it is, I'm not going to do it. And you cannot use the excuse, because I've heard this given, well, I'm serving someone. No, it's not what God's talking about. We are to serve people, but not in this case. God says, do not work. And so we can't use those things. And so there's been people who've had to quit their jobs in those avenues to honor God, to follow God's commandment. And yes, that's difficult. That's hard. But that's what it's talking about. This ox in the ditch, when we look at this, are rare, rare occasions, right? Because if you look at it, if this legitimate emergency continues time after time after time, then I think it's something that we need to maybe look at. Is it us? Are we? Or is somebody else creating this emergency? And sometimes we create our own emergencies, don't we? We do that. And so in that case, we have to look at it as we need to change something. And yes, it's hard to say you need to change jobs. That's on you. I'm just telling you what God says. If he says do not work, he doesn't say do not work. Oh, unless you're serving someone. Unless you're in a service job. No, that's not in the Bible anywhere. So you can't conjoin the two. We know we're supposed to serve one another, but not on the Sabbath. That's not what he's talking about. You know, I've said on several occasions, I think I've said it here, that if you have these situations keep coming up, you sell the ox or you fill in a ditch, or both. Right? Both. Meaning you get rid of the self-made emergency. You get rid of it. Let me ask you this question. And this is a serious question. I want you to think about this question seriously and think about what it really is saying. If you could not find a way to survive because of your occupation required you work on the Sabbath or on Saturdays, is the Sabbath worth dying for? I'll repeat that. If you could not find a way to survive because your occupation required you to work on Saturdays or the Sabbath, is the Sabbath worth dying for? And I think we can look back and we think about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, it talks about, in verse 12, begins with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember what they went through. And they told the king, no way, we will not follow you, we will not bow down to you. And they knew they were going to get thrown in the furnace. And they said, God can save us if he will or if he wants to. But we rely on him. And they were thrown in the furnace. Of course, God protected them. But you know what? They were convicted. They were convicted of what they believed. They were convicted by God. And you and I are going to have to decide in our lives to carry out the command that God has given to us, regardless of what anyone else says. Regardless. So an ox in a ditch, again, is a legitimate emergency. Has to do with a legitimate emergency. And again, we've all had those from time to time. I mean, you've been driving on the highway and your tire blows out. That's a legitimate emergency. You may not get it fixed right away and things happen. Or somebody's in a car accident and you pull up and somebody's injured and you help take care of the situation. Those are an emergency, but those don't happen every day. Again, it's something that happens very seldom. So we look at this Sabbath day. This Sabbath day is to serve us, right? God's people. And we in this Sabbath day to serve God. To serve him, and that part of service by honoring him by everything that we do. And again, by doing that, we're honoring our parents, aren't we? God the Father is our parent, as we do with also Jesus Christ, our elder brother, and our Savior, by honoring them. Well, let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. And verse 23. We've touched on this a little bit in the past couple sermons. But I feel it's really important for us to understand how the Sabbath day is looked at from the point of view of the rest of the week. Right? We talked about that a little bit. And we're going to talk more about the preparation day here. But remember, in the very first sermon, I think I said, God gave us 7 days in a week. Six are yours, one is his. Do what you want on yours. He doesn't care. Do your work, do your whatever. But the seventh is his. It's not yours anymore. You don't have a choice on those days. You know, as I was driving to church this morning, I started thinking about that. This is his day. And I even said in the first sermon that the 6 days that are yours, you do certain things. Like, I can say that on those 6 days of the week, I look at my phone and look at different things on my phone and check things out and do this and that. I start thinking, so should I stop doing all that on the Sabbath? I mean, is it wrong to do that? No, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying, but is that, if I'm to do for God on the Sabbath and not do what I do in those other 6 days, maybe I should stop looking at my phone on Sabbath. I mean, is what's on there that important? I mean, unless somebody's calling me or texting me from church or saying, you know, we're not going to be there because we're sick. Okay, I do that. But the other things that I normally do during the week, should I do that on the Sabbath? Do I have to? Is it something that's pulling us in that direction? And that's the direction of the world, isn't it? So, I mean, that's what I'm going to talk about here. So, again, we're talking about this preparation day. Now, in Exodus 16, verse 23, it says, "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" So this is basically, he's instructing them, as you remember, Israel, and he was giving them the manna and instructing them about the manna, how to prepare, how to take care of the manna. And he was testing them. He was testing them to see, are you going to follow my directions? Are you going to do what I say that you're supposed to do? And so he would give them just enough, right, for that day. Just enough manna for that day. And you remember the story. People went out and gathered more than they needed because they were worried they wouldn't have enough. And, of course, it rotted and, you know, got worms and everything. And they didn't follow his instructions. And then we know at the end of the 6 days, he turns around and he gives them enough for 2 days. Okay, so he's showing them a very, I think, interesting and important principle that we need to look at and we need to follow, and that is, are we prepared to meet the Sabbath? Are we prepared to come into the Sabbath? And how we do that? You know, as I said before, this is on all of us, isn't it? It's not just you all, it's me too. I've even mentioned years and years ago, I know I didn't keep it right. I know I didn't do things right. And I need this sermon just as much as you do. But I think we all understand that our lives are very busy. Very busy. It's difficult for us because we have both husbands and wives working. It's difficult to be running full bore for 6 days, 5 days, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, on a Sabbath, you stop. It's not easy at times, is it? I know that. But what God is trying to get us to understand and to really think about in our lives is when he gives us the Sabbath and gives us this Sabbath, he expects us to be looking forward to it, right? To look forward to the Sabbath, to look forward to being with his people by using the other 6 days to prepare for it. This is what the scripture is telling us. We just went through it, preparing for the Sabbath day, looking forward to the Sabbath day. Because he talks about there's nothing, right? There's nothing to be given to them on the Sabbath. No more manna. Not there. They're to prepare ahead of time. So it was the reminder that the sixth day was a double portion. And that double portion represents preparation, being prepared. They prepared on the sixth day for 2 days. And guess what happened? They followed the directions and the manna didn't rot. It was okay. Now, we know that that was a supernatural act from God. We know he was involved in that. And they followed his directions and they did that. But he was showing them what he wanted them to understand on this particular day. On the Sabbath day, let's look at verse 29 here. It says, "See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So God gave them this commandment because he wanted them to focus on the seventh day, this day, in their lives, and to make this day special. Right? Not like the other 6 days. This day is special. You know, in our modern day, now, there should still be a day of preparation, or days. I'm going to say that, or days. Again, as I've mentioned, a lot of husbands and wives both work. And it's hard when you're both working, and if you have kids, to come home, do all the things you have to do around the house, get things, prepare. You know, and it does. The Sabbath can sneak up on you. But we have to start preparing early enough, right, in the week, early enough in our days, to be able to make that happen. To make it where we come into the Sabbath and it's like, okay, here we are. I mean, would you do, have you, how many of you ever done that? I'm going to ask for hands. I have. It is amazing. I mean, it is amazing how much more special the Sabbath is. I mean, it goes easier, it's smoother, it's a wonderful thing. And so doing those things, preparing ahead of time, preparing for what we need to do, makes the Sabbath more meaningful to you. It will if you actually follow this. And again, including me, we all must do this. We all must do this. You know, as a minister, I do everything and focus on the Sabbath. I focus on the Sabbath basically all week because I'm writing sermons and I'm answering PCD. So everything I do basically is focusing on the Sabbath. And, you know, sometimes for me, I have to start very early in the week. Sunday, I start for the next week. And that's not just for that week. That's for 5 weeks out sometimes. I mean, I don't prepare messages the day before I give them. I don't, because to me that's not being prepared. Okay, I'm not telling men, and I've said that to men before. If you prepare it the night before, are you really prepared? And some can do it. Some can put something together and do it, but that's not me. I prepare my messages sometimes 4 and 5 weeks out. I have a list on my computer that are for upcoming sermons I'm going to give that I've been working with for 4 or 5 weeks, and some longer. And that's where I'm headed. I mean, and I ask God where I should go and what I should, you know, I'm praying about that as well. But I'm also doing meat in due season. I'm trying to work on the holy days. You're trying to, you know, so all those things. Like now, I'm working on holy day sermons because I want to be prepared, and I have to know that because I'm going to be up here. I know that every Saturday. I'm going to be up here, and I don't want to be up here, well, unprepared. Have you ever been stuck and been unprepared about something? Not a good feeling. And it usually doesn't go the way you'd like it to go. And so, you know, my job as a pastor is to feed you, right? You're my sheep. And Christ even said, "Feed my sheep." And I look at that responsibility very, very deeply. I take that very seriously as being your pastor. And again, if I don't do a sermon prepare ahead of time, if I do it Friday night, then I have failed you. I have failed God, and I have failed myself. That's what I feel. Because I'm not going to do the justice. I'm not going to give, and I've not put enough into it to give you that meat, that food that Christ says, "Feed my sheep." So you have the Sabbath preparation. Again, and that might go from Tuesday to Friday. Who knows? Preparing for the Sabbath. You know, you think about it. Okay, what does that mean? How do I prepare? What are the things I need to do? Do you have clean shirts, men? Your suits, are they pressed? Do you have, you know, your ties all clean? Ladies, you have nylons without runs in them? I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about things that you would prepare for. You know, are your kids' clothes clean that they can come to church, you know, clean and tidy? I mean, there's a lot of various things you can look at. Do you have gas in your car? You know, that's one of the ones I forget times where I'm driving on the way to Rolla. I was like, oh, I forgot to get gas. And so I'd stop and get gas. Now, is that a sin? No. But I'm just saying, are we taking the Sabbath seriously enough to prepare before it comes so that we don't have to do those things that we do in those other 6 days of the week? So I hope that makes sense. Making sure whatever duties you have, if you're assigned duties for the Sabbath, that you're prepared for them. You know, one of the ones I remember somebody in one of my congregations, not here, that would come 15 minutes before services started and start going through the hymnal to pick songs because he was a song leader that day. Well, you're not prepared. You know, that's not being prepared. I would do it at home, pick my songs out, and if I wasn't really good or didn't know the songs, I'd go through them a time or two to prepare so that I'd make sure I knew them, that I could lead the congregation. Again, I'm just saying, part of service, part of our jobs is to be prepared for what God has given us to do on the Sabbath. That's what this day of preparation is all about, that we're talking about here. Making sure that we are prepared for the Sabbath before it starts, before the sun goes down Friday night. Now, I do understand we all have emergencies from time to time. They come up and that they happen to us. But the objective is that we are ready to go into the Sabbath. That's the objective in the proper way. And we know that to do that, it takes a little planning, right? It takes us thinking about it. Again, and we just talked about it, God wants us to be thinking about the Sabbath, those other 6 days, doesn't he? Our focus should be on God, what God is doing in our lives. I mean, if you're praying every day and you're doing the things God wants, you are focused on God. And so preparation should be easier. It shouldn't be a thing that's like, oh man, I got to prepare. Again, man. We're going to get to that because this day should be special to you. This day should be something you want to be here with. Because now is God's time. Right? Now is God's time. You know, it seems like at times when we look through our lives, and I look through mine as well, that sometimes in the 21st century, we really lost sight of God, of what he really means to us, of what he really has given to us already, and what he is still going to give us and prepare us for. You know, we seek the kingdom of God. We do. We all want that. We seek God's righteousness in our lives. We want him to be a part of that first and foremost. And so remembering the Sabbath, and this may seem trivial to you, but you know what? This is one of the Ten Commandments, remembering the Sabbath day. That's one of the ten. So if you don't do one, what does all the rest mean? You've already broken one of God's commandments, so do the other ones mean anything? I mean, you know what I'm saying. Yes, we want to keep them. But it's like, it's not one and done, or it's not like one and, oh, I've done the other nine. No, it's like you've done none. It's a sin. It's breaking God's law. So we have to look at the whole picture. Are we pleasing God in what we're doing? And so we think about it, we look at it, we ponder on it all week long. Here's another question that I get asked from time to time. Is it okay to eat out on Sabbath? I'm not going to go into this topic very deeply, because the church has a paper on it, very lengthy paper, 18 pages, about eating out on the Sabbath, because it's been brought up so many times. But I will tell you, well, and if you want a copy of that, tell me. I will send it to you. Okay? I will send you a copy of it. And again, that's the question of eating out on the Sabbath. And I will tell you right now, the church has never taught it is wrong. You can even go back to Mr. Armstrong. He has never taught that it's wrong to eat out on the Sabbath. Now, clearly, as Christians, and Christianity involves choices, And there are things you won't do. There are things I won't do. Why? For conscience sakes, right? For conscience sake. Because if you do it and it goes against your conscience, that is a sin. But eating out is not. And again, it's a part of each individual's Christianity. It's a part of each individual's choice, whether they want to or not, whether they think it's okay or not. But the Apostle Paul took the position that he would not eat meat. If you remember, when you look through that, because he wouldn't eat it because if it caused someone to stumble. To eat or not eat meat was a conscious choice, right? A conscious choice that he could make. I'm not going to do it because it'll offend them. The act of it wasn't a matter of sin, of eating or not eating meat. It was not a matter of sin. So when we look at those kind of things, the church's position has been that eating out on the Sabbath or a holy day is a personal choice. And it is a view of the church that it's not a violation of Scripture to do that if you choose to do so. And we in the family of God, and I'm saying this because I've seen it happen in churches, we in the family of God are to respect each other's choices and decisions that we make. Now, my wife and I have never had a problem with eating on the Sabbath, but we've been in congregations where there are people who did. And so we honored them by not pointing it out, but respecting them. And we had asked them to our house. Other people we'd go out to eat with at a restaurant. So we honored and respected them for their decision. We never, put them down because you're wrong. You aren't supposed to eat on the Sabbath. That's happened. And it creates issues in the church. And that's what I'm talking about. We don't want that. It's a choice. Everybody has that choice. And whatever your choice is, that's fine. We respect it. Let's move on. I hope I've made that clear. Again, if you want that paper, I'll send it to you. We're also told that the Sabbath is to be a delight. And, there's times where, I've heard people say, man, I just don't want to go today. Just don't want to be there, because so-and-so and this, and I have to deal with this situation and that situation. And yes, it does happen. It does occur. But is the Sabbath a delight? How can we go about making it a delight? If it's not, what can we do as family, as God's people, to make the Sabbath a delight? I'm going to go through a few things here that can help us do that, I think, to make it a delight to want to be here. What about those who can't be here because they're a shut-in? And a shut-in means that they just can't make it all. They can't make it, or they can't make it all the time. As we get older, things like that happen. So why not visit them on the Sabbath? That wouldn't be wrong, would it? I mean, for the people I go visit, they love to have people. They love to visit. There's some that haven't been here in a long time and miss us. They want to be around God's people. That is one great thing we can do on the Sabbath. We can write letters and cards to them. We can call them and encourage them. And I don't know about you, but you all probably know that's not one of my strong points. I'm working on it. I'm not a phone caller. I just have never been. I've hated it since, I was in the business of calling people all the time. And to me, it's not personal. I know that it can help someone. I do, and I'm trying to be better at that. Because it does, you call them and say, thank you for calling. It really made my day. So it does work. It does help. So calling them. The Sabbath is a great time to do those things. I know there's some that I've had to pull back myself because my dad, when he was alive and when we were younger, he didn't call you and ask if he'd come over. He just showed up. That's how he worked. It was just like, my mom would be like, Wayne, no, we're not. He'd just pull over there and drive in. My mom had to deal with it, but it usually turned out fine and nice. And Dad's like, oh, they're fine. It'll be all right. That's just how we operated. I've wanted to do that at times. Just drive around. It's like, oh, they're probably homeless. Stop in and see what they're doing. If that happens, don't get mad at me. Okay, if I'm in the area, I might just swing in. I just never know. I mean, if you're home. If you're not home, then okay. But it's just something that I grew up doing, and I'm very comfortable doing it. I make it a delight. So again, those are things that we can do, that we can make the Sabbath a delight for all of, for everyone. You know, we have the opportunity to study God's Word. You know, and the Sabbath is definitely something great for that. Reviewing materials, maybe that we haven't reviewed in a while. Maybe that we're not really sure about. Or we maybe have a misunderstanding about. To review those things. You know, one of the things that I've tried to do over the years, and I do start it every year. I've been successful, I think, a couple times over the years. But it's to read the Bible through completely. And I'll get a great start, and I'll go for months doing good, and then, man, get busy, and things happens, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm so far behind. I just get discouraged and say, oh, I'll start next year. No, I will pick it up where I've let, where not those, I won't make up those months or weeks that I've missed, but I will start, and I'll start again. But that's a great tool to do that. I mean, what about going to the fundamental beliefs on the Sabbath, reviewing those? Do you know how to explain all of them? If you don't, maybe we should. Review them. What does it mean? What do they say? What about the correspondence course? Now, I don't know how many of you, I remember the, was it 58? The old one in Worldwide? 52, 58, 50? It was a lot. There was a lot of, a lot of them. I still have them. And it's sometimes nice to go review those, to go through it. I mean, the church also has the ones that they've redone and they're new and revised, but whatever the case is, even the old ones aren't wrong. I mean, there's a different perspective, I think, and maybe they've come to some newer conclusions from the old ones. But they're great tools to learn from. I mean, there really is. And there's so much, I'll plug Life, Hope, and Truth, on there that you can't get it all done. There are so many great things that the church has been putting out that we can use that time to study God's Word, to get closer to Him. You know, I don't know. I've said this before, I don't know, but as a family, when I was growing up as a kid, my mom and dad, and we're talking about here making the Sabbath a delight. My mom and dad, when it came to Friday nights, my mom was always prepared, and she would always ask early in the week, and we'd all, sometimes, not all the time, but get a chance to pick what meal we wanted. And we'd say, hey, Mom, could we have, and she'd ask, what do you want this Sabbath, this Friday night? And then she'd make that, and we'd all sit down for dinner. We always had dinner together as a family. After dinner, we'd have a two hours, seemed like forever, Bible study. And we would talk about Scripture, we'd read Scripture, we'd read the plain truth, we'd read all, you know, whatever it was during that. And then after that, we played games for 2 hours. Now, we might have played Bible Pictionary. We did that, but we played cards. We made popcorn and had pop, soda, Coke, whatever you want to call it. I've covered all of them, I think, there. Those are the most memorable times of my life because my parents made the Sabbath a delight. We look forward to Friday nights coming into the Sabbath because of we were doing it as a family. We were going to Bible study, and that wasn't why we liked Friday nights, but we knew we were going to get to play games as a family. We were together. And you know, during those times as the Friday nights, you talked about what happened during the week. How did school go? What were any problems? What happened? We discussed things in the sermons. You know, and the parents would ask us, that sermon he gave, did you understand? And if we didn't understand, we'd talk about it. My parents would help us understand. It was a great time for that bonding, Friday evenings with the family. And you know, I remember people would tell us, you're wrong, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, they're no longer in the church. And most all my family is. Now, I'm not saying that's why. And I'm not saying my family's any better. I'm just saying there's some things that you learn throughout the years that are good for your family, that you do for your family, because you want them to understand what the Sabbath is supposed to be. And it was a delight for us. We had an awesome time. We did that for our kids when they were growing up. We did the same thing. Had a meal together. We played games. And we made it fun. Too many times we as parents can make the Sabbath dreadful. And our kids don't want to be here anymore. Or we don't want to be here anymore. Because how we treated things, even back then. And I give my parents so much credit for back in those days, in the 60s, 70s, where they did that, regardless of what the ministry or the elders or the deacons said. And we didn't go around blabbing that a lot, I'll tell you that. My parents said, listen, this is our thing, we keep this to it, and we did. But I think it's important to share that, because he's talking about making a delight. And I'm not saying go bowling, go golfing, doing that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a family togetherness, a family function, something you do as a family together on a Friday evening. So anyway, those are some things that I looked at as growing up that I found enjoyable, that I think made the Sabbath mean more to me as a young person, as a teenager. Because, you know, when your kids are growing up, and I'm going on here, but when your kids are growing up in the church, oh, you can't play sports. You can't do that because it's Friday night. You can't play on Saturdays. You can't do this. You can't do that. My parents never said you can't. My parents gave us a choice. We were told and taught God's Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. You're not to work or do your pleasure. And so when it came, they said, you can go into sports. I mean, I was in all the sports, everything that I could think of that the school had offered. And yeah, I sat on the bench a lot because I knew I couldn't do it on the Sabbath. That was my choice. And I think that's the important thing that we need to understand. When we tell our kids, you don't tell them, you can't, you can't, you can't. You tell them, listen, this is what God says. You choose. Now, maybe they won't choose the right thing. I don't know. But if you've done it in a loving, caring way, and we're going to talk about our words a little later, you know, I think most kids would say, you know, hey, they made this fun. They made this, made us understand. They made the Sabbath a delight. And I don't hate it like some. Again, I'm just going off what I've seen. Because we know that the Sabbath is a wonderful gift from God. A wonderful gift that he's given to us. And to be able to shut ourselves off for one day from the rest of the world, from everything that this world has done, all the stuff they cram into our brains, to shut off from all of that and get our attention on God's plan is amazing. Is life-changing. Well, let's go to the book of Isaiah. I only spoke 45 minutes this morning. It'll probably be an hour today with me rambling. Isaiah 56. So we're going to look at Isaiah, and we're going to begin with 56, but we're going to look at three different sections of Scripture here. We're going to look at Isaiah 56, 58, and 66, because they all have to do with the Sabbath. But more importantly, they have to do with future Sabbath keeping. Right? We know the now, but what about the future? What about, you know, it goes on from here. So here in Isaiah, we're going to start in Isaiah 56 and verse 2. Isaiah 56 and verse 2. It says, blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. I want to focus on that hold fast my covenant. Because this is not the old covenant. This is not the new covenant. This is that special covenant that we talked about in the first beginning. This is that Sabbath covenant that God made with his people. That's what we're talking about here. As it talks about in Exodus 31 and verse 13 through 70. A special covenant. I mean, you think about that. He made that with us people. Us. Well, let's go on to verse 5 here. Verse 5 says, even to them will I give my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. So we look at the Sabbath keeping. What we're doing now has a future look, doesn't it? It looks to those in the future. And that has to be a part of our thinking on the Sabbath. It's not just today. It's future look. Look past today. Look out there. You know, many of us look back. I know that because we look back too many times and we fret over things that happened in the past. And we shouldn't. Now we can look at the past and learn lessons that we've learned. But too many people look back and they want to, maybe they've had issues in the past and they want to pull those issues back. They've already prayed about it, given it to God, and they want to pull those back. Well, we look back all the time. We do as Christians. And we think back to those times. And we think back to when we came, maybe we came into the church and what that meant for us. And maybe some of the struggles we went through and some of the situations we were put in or some of the people we were involved with during that in the church. And then we look back and say, well, and look where we are today. Today, I mean, big change, difference, isn't it? I mean, still the church, still teach the same thing. But it's different. But we and I are supposed to also to look ahead, right, to the future, to what God holds in place for us, and keep our eyes and minds on that future. Right? The kingdom is the future. Sons and daughters of God the Father and Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, that's the future. That's what the Sabbath is all about and what it's talking about here in Isaiah 56. That's what he wants us to understand. He wants us to get. Let's go now to Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Again, this is we're talking about now the things that we can do, right? I mean, this is a future look. We're going to look in the future, but these are we're still going some of those things that we can do. Here in Isaiah 66 and verse 23. Isaiah 66 and verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So again, this is a future look, isn't it? A future look. It's something God is trying to tell us that is important, that we must keep our eyes on, our mind on. Well, let's go now back to 58, Isaiah 58. A few chapters back. This, of course, is dealing with fasting, this chapter. And we know Israel, and not just Israel, all man at some point has an attitude, right? And they have a frame of mind that, well, was simply lacking in areas. And he shows us the frame of mind that you and I are supposed to have spiritually speaking. So here in Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. You know, you look at these and you will not find these words written in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You won't find it. You might find a little bit in the New Testament as you go through that. But you see here, this is the covenant of the Sabbath that he made with his people. Verse 14 goes on and says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now there is a lot of things that can be said here, that have been said here, that we've just read. But I think the main idea that you and I need to take away from these few scriptures that I've just read here, is delighting in the Sabbath Right? Delighting in the Sabbath combines both worshiping God, right? Worshiping Him on this day, because this is His day, and what? Finding enjoyment, a delight through Him and in Him on this day. And what He's provided us both physically and spiritually. What He's given to us. So when I guess when we think about the reality, it becomes our ways versus God's ways. Right? Our ways versus God's ways. And God claims the Sabbath day is His. I'm going to say this again, but look what He's given you. He gave you 6 days. He only took one. The 6 are yours. That's amazing to me. What if He would have said, you get 1 day and the other 6 are mine? Well, there'd probably be no human beings on this earth. But He's given you 6 days to do what you want. This is just this 1 day for Him to be with Him, to understand Him. But I think that this was what it's talking about. This day of happiness, this year of cheerfulness, this making this day a delight, is what this is all about, the Sabbath. I mean, think about what makes you happy. Chocolate makes me happy. That's just one of the things. But what is it that makes you happy? I mean, hopefully it's not. I said chocolate. Okay, that's a physical thing. But hopefully it's not the physical pleasures like this world has. Like the world you see in this world. I hope we think about it with aspects of the day. About thinking about God. About getting closer to God. And what that means. To gain the understanding. To gain the knowledge that He has there for us. And I can tell you right now, you don't know everything. No one does. And to gain more and more understanding is an awesome thing. To be able to understand what He has in hope for and what He has prepared for us. So again, the essence of the day, making the day a delight, is to what He says, put your attention on Me. Put it on My Sabbath. Treat the Sabbath as an honor to Me. That's what He's talking about. And when we begin to do that, then we're able to put down the cell phone or the iPad or the computer or the television. Because those are things we use on the other 6 days, right? Again, I'm not saying, please don't put words in my mouth. I'm not saying you can't have those things on the Sabbath. What I'm saying is, are we really treating the Sabbath the way God would like us to treat it? To remove all those things that take our mind away from the Sabbath. Because they do. They do. Now, somebody will say, no, I read the Bible on my iPad. Okay. But I'm talking about worldly things. Things that you normally do during the week. And I'm not going to say it. We'll just move on from there. Now, I want to address this too because, you know, thinking about God, thinking about the Sabbath, should be a 7-day-a-week occurrence that we do. And what I want to say is that thinking about other things is not wrong. Okay, we have to think about other things. We have jobs. We have all these things that we have to do. And thinking about other things is not wrong. But the big picture that we should be getting from this is that the Sabbath pictures the millennium. The Sabbath should be our focus because it pictures our time in the family of God. It pictures that time of rest from all this garbage that we get now in this world. And it pictures the coming of Jesus Christ and His government, God's government on this earth. That's what this day should represent to us and we should be thinking about. You know, I think about this and I thought about this morning. And that is, we talk about this on the holy days, not this topic, but what I'm going to say is that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We talk about that, right? Because when we're giving our tithes, our offerings to God. And I think when we think about that those things, we think about what is in our heart, where's our treasure, what is that treasure? And if those treasures are only found in our own interests, if those treasures are only found in the pursuits that we have or the pleasures that we seek during the week, then the focus is wrong, isn't it? The focus is all on self. It's not on God. It's on self. And in that case, when it's on self, how do you focus on God? How do you do that? And so I think Isaiah 58 tells us to take a different look at what this is telling us, a look at our priorities and where they're at. I mean, Friday night with your children is a wonderful time. It's probably one of my favorite evenings when our kids were home. Now it's a wonderful night with Cheryl, my wife. But it's a wonderful time to set aside, being with the brethren after services, being able to spend time with you. And hopefully you feel the same way, as a wonderful thing to be able to get to know one another, because we are going to be together at some point. Have you ever thought that, you know what, if we all go to the place of safety and we can't get along now, what's that going to be like? So we have to get along, don't we? We have to, like, you know what? We're a family, whether we like it or not. Yeah, you didn't choose your brother or sister sitting next to you, but God did. He knows. He knows. And so we have to really look at that and make sure that we understand what it is he's trying to us to focus on. If your personal interests and your priorities, and they're of primary importance to you, and if they are delighting in those things all the time, if you're delighting in those things all the time, you aren't going to have room for the Sabbath day. Again, a different look, right? Looking at it differently. Okay, I mentioned what about our words? And I'm as guilty as all of you. And I'm not saying all of you are guilty. Some of you are much better than others, I'm sure. I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to get in trouble. Again, my words. Because you remember the saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I got a lot in my heart. It just doesn't come out like I'd like it to sometimes. And sometimes things come out. And what we talk about and what we say and the things that we think, you know, it's known every Sabbath when you're here with everyone. Do you not know that? Because when you talk with people, what you talk to them about is what you're thinking is on your mind, and they know. Does that make sense? And what we say and how we say it, can it be offensive, or it can be taken wrong, or it can be encouraging and uplifting? You know, I've gotten myself caught in that a few times. What I thought was just poking fun, in my mind it was like, okay, that was funny, you know, and I look at them, you could tell in their faces, not so funny. And so, you know, those are things I have to think about and look at more in my life. But our words, you can say the same thing, but be very caring and loving when you say it. Do you know what I'm saying? I hope you do. I hope you understand. Did I ever tell you about the bridge? How many of you have been told, oh, go jump off a bridge? A lot, right? I mean, I have. No. Think about it. Have you ever been to that bridge over there and seen the beauty that it has to show? If you stand right there on the bridge, and then, you know what? The water below looks so inviting that you just jump in. I just told them to jump off the bridge, but in a very caring and loving way. Now, I'm not going to tell people to jump off a bridge, but I want to emphasize the way you say things, how you say it, can be a very encouraging and uplifting. In other ways, it can be degrading. It can be emotionally distressful to some people and offensive to some people. And so that's what we're doing. The Sabbath day is the day to think about our words, on how we say things and what we do with our words. Again, we look at, I'm going to emphasize again, studying God's word, reviewing as planned. Those are things that are so important for us to do. What about talking about your goals? Not physical goals, spiritual goals. Some of those, have you ever made a spiritual goal for yourself? If you haven't, do it. A spiritual goal. I mean, it could be reading the Bible in a year. That's a spiritual goal, to learn more. I mean, there's a couple of things you can do in that. But develop some goals, you know, about the future. What it is you want to happen in the future for your life? Where you want to be? Again, we talked about that we're supposed to look in the future, right? To God's kingdom, to what our family's going to be like. What are some of the goals that we'd like to happen in our lives? Again, those are all important things for us to consider. Looking back to what God has done for us. You know, we ask God in our prayers all the time, please do this for me, please help me with this. But do we go back and thank him for what he's done already for us? What he's made available to us? And then looking forward to what he's going to continue to do in our lives to bring us to the point where he wants us. Do we do that? You know, putting this life and the world in the perspective of God's word and his plan. So what we're talking about is this day, the Sabbath day, is to think about positive things. I mean, we can be negative. Sure you can. There's plenty of people that are negative in this world. But the Sabbath is a positive day. Everything about it is positive. Everything that God's plan is positive. How can we be negative about this? So we think about the positive things so that we can reach forward and we can reach upward, as it talks about here in verses 13 and 14. Well, let's go to Ezekiel 20 as we begin to wind down. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel 20, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. And I want you to just listen here to what the prophet Ezekiel says. Ezekiel 20, verse 11 says, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." We see that these two verses right here that we just read show that the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. Israel, we know, forsook God and the holy time that he set aside for them. They turned away from it. And they paid a price, didn't they? And that price was very severe. Can we assume that if God is going to hold a whole nation responsible for breaking the Sabbath, that he would spare one individual? I think that we have to realize that as a church, we need to take the Sabbath more seriously. We need to understand that probably back in the 90s, when all that turmoil began and things started kicking up, that maybe we let some things slip. Right? We let some things slip by the wayside. And we went down this road and we didn't pay close enough attention to what really it meant. Now I know all of us human beings do that from time to time. As we go on in life, we let things slip. We let things get a little less. Oh, it's okay. And pretty soon you're down. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer even there. That's a human nature. That's what happens to us. And that's what happened back in the 90s. We must make the Sabbath day more special. And we must look at this day of being more serious in our lives. We must keep it holy because our Savior and our salvation depends on it. Our salvation depends on keeping this day holy. So my hope is that in these sermons that I've given, that hopefully you have at least picked up some of the basic principles that maybe you have forgotten, that maybe you've forgotten, that maybe you haven't thought about in a long time, that maybe you just didn't know. And my hope is that it will bring back to your mind, to your remembrance, to your heart, the way God intended for us to keep this day. Right? The way God intended, not us. The way He intended. And to remember Him. To remember to honor Him. To glorify Him. And make this day holy. I hope you have a meaningful and restful and encouraging rest of the Sabbath.